Money and markets, the drumbeats of war are with us. If you look at the kind of force it takes to keep the slow burn going, you know, prepare to see more and more violence, certainly covertly, and the danger is that it could get overt. The Iranian oil bourse, which started in 2008, was supposed to start trading outside the dollar today. Last weekend, we saw the Swiss system in Belgium, certainly at U.S. pressure, throwing Iranian banks off the system, and actual or threatened sanctions by the U.S. towards a number of countries trading with Iran. Numerous stories are up on the blog. I continue to follow it. The reality is the Iranians do not want to be part of the empire model. In many respects, we're watching the same issues play out in the Iranian situation that's playing out in our own households and communities, whether we're in the U.S., Canada, or other countries that that many of our subscribers are in. We're all struggling to get out of the centralizing systems that are trying to control, tax, and train, and debase. And we're trying to find workarounds and find a way to communicate with each other and find a way to help each other shift. Meanwhile, the centralizing system keeps trying to buy us back in or force us back in, and the war goes on both covertly and overtly. Equity markets corrected this week after a first quarter rise of over 15%, which, considering the fundamentals, was quite spectacular. It certainly defied the fundamentals, like fundamental earning projections. The corporate SEC filings, speaking of earning projections, are now happening this week. For those who file on a calendar year, report on a calendar year, the 10-Ks should be in this week. Proxies should be in by mid-April. Those documents, despite all the tricks to try not to disclose, have a lot of interesting information, both earnings and little sections like litigation. We have not seen much reporting coming out about these filings, but I'm keeping an eye out for them, and they should really be instructive. Precious metals swooned ahead of equities and swooned a lot today. Expect a major effort to persuade retail investors that gold and silver are no longer in a primary trend up. Don't fall for it, but don't be surprised if precious metals prices are weak and under a lot of pressure, and the spin is particularly effective through April 15th and the events in the Gulf. Under the rubric of don't you just love him, there's lots of positive spin coming out across the financial press about employment. The reality is something else. It's all part of the pain of tax season. John Hathaway, who runs the Tocqueville Gold Fund, which has taken quite a beating as the mining stocks have significantly underperformed bullion. One factor is higher oil prices are always tough on the mining stocks and have a big impact on earnings. But John Hathaway was quoted recently as saying in an interview he did, quote, let's forget about seasonal adjustments on the labor numbers because, in fact, there are 500,000 more people out of work than there were at the end of the year. The seasonal adjustments say there are more people at work. We know those games. So that'll give you a sense of how bad employment is. There's a split in the oil and gas market with oil now at 105 and natural gas prices continue to be low. I came through Midland and across West Texas earlier this week, and it sure looks like a boomtown in Midland. There are more and more signs that a significant domestic supply of natural gas may be a way to continue to subsidize energy here in the U.S. That could be a major shift in energy policy, and it's one I continue to watch. It would be good news for the U.S. dollar. There are two very dark pieces on the blog, but they're very important, and I encourage you to read them. One is from Wired Magazine, a story on the data center in Utah being done by the NSA. It has inspired quite a lot of people on the Internet to send that story around. It's been republished a lot of times. There's nothing new for Solaria subscribers, but gives you a picture of how dark the system is and why I continue to say there is absolutely no privacy. Whether any digital communication is just not private. I continue to be appalled at anybody who suggests they don't have to pay taxes on their sales of coins back to a dealer. If you look at the absence of privacy and the incentives given to any dealer to turn you in, you're putting your life in the hands of a stranger. Why do it? So just it's very, very important for you to understand that there is no privacy and think about that during tax season. The second story I wanted to point out to you was a video by the Human Project, Barry Trower, on the dangers of wireless communication. It's a lot to digest, and there's some very dark stuff in there, but I think it's very much worth watching. On a positive note, we continue to see more and more interest in financing private enterprises and local activities. It's one of the reasons we did what I thought was a fantastic Solari report last week on the comfort call stories and the, how to create a legal structure for a startup or new business. And I really encourage you, if you or family members or people in your network are thinking of starting a business, it's just that and the links that we put up at the blog are a great resource. And I would really encourage you to listen to that one, and certainly feel free to pass it on to family members if they're thinking of doing a startup. It's all part of the continued shift towards an interest in things that are tangible and real. So it's great that we're talking to Tom Greco tonight. I'm really looking forward to that. We continue to watch the debate about crowdfunding, whether crowdfunding, which is now used to allow many people to gift into a project, should be allowed to shift to facilitating equity investment. That's a big shift of what the rules have been. There's a NPR show on the topic, and I posted it on the blog along with several other pieces I wanted to point out to you. One is Kickstarter has facilitated 100 million of gifting into creative projects. If you look at their website, I don't know how much they've done since the end of the year, but they're clearly going gangbusters. And now it's fabulous, including a food category, someone funding an urban farm, and all sorts of different food projects. And I'm very glad to see that. We have a great subscriber in Australia who called me this week to report that the Double Fine Adventure game had raised $3.4 million from 87,000 backers on Kickstarter, and that story is up on the blog. Apparently, their original goal was 400,000, which they raised in 8 hours. Can you imagine? So there's a lot of positive things going on. I think if people think their money's not going to be well used, well, they'll just gift it. Anyway, the Kickstarter model inspired a town in Australia, pointed out by this subscriber, to launch a website. It was a local, the head of community gardener, a permaculturist, and a law firm got together and launched a website to try and raise capital to buy the local IGA grocery store, which was being put up for sale. And at this point, you can link to it from the blog, $600,000 towards an estimated 2 million indications that they would fund. So that's quite amazing. And the subscriber called because they're thinking about how they could build a model for doing Kickstarters for communities. And I can just imagine that sprouting all over the world.